if we pay attention and if we think that there's a government and the government announces that however many people of this type there are who have not got visas applied, those people who have come, who are here, present in the country, and who don't have visas, permits to stay. You know, people that come who are living for quite some time on a certain status, on a certain basis they've come. They're living in the country 5 years, 7 years, 8 years, and they don't know, will they get a permanent stay or a visa to stay? There are cases like this. And if the government announces, that within 2 days, whoever puts forward his request that I need a visa, then we will give everybody a free visa. Now tell me, if you tell me, what will be the condition of those people? How happy those people will be? Will they go to sleep for 2 days? That those 2 days will be very busy. They'll be occupied. Every man in that situation, for example, obviously they're distressed before that. They're upset. They're down. There's no doubt. So those people will avail this opportunity. And in order to avail this opportunity, every man within that circumstance will try his hardest. Whatever life actions there are or tasks there are at that time, he'll put them all to the behind and say, well, we need the visa. There'll be happiness. It's like Eid for those people. There'll be so rejoicing there will be during that time. And I'll tell you another announcement, which will be associated with us. Death will come, won't it, brothers? When will it come? Does anybody know? Is anybody aware? Will it come in your youth, in your old age, or beyond that old age? Or whilst you're driving, or wherever you are, whether you're lying down on your bed, whilst you're talking? Does anybody know when death will come? Nobody knows. Nobody knows. But we all have yaqeen about death. We all believe and have certainty that this is part of our belief, faith, that we have to pass away. You are pious, I speak about myself. The next life, do we know what's going to happen, when we're going to pass away, what's going to happen after we die, what will be our situation? Has Allah Ta'ala told each person the details? Yes, after death, does the grave not come? And there will be questioning, and there will be the severity in the grave, and there will be pythons and serpents, and they will devour our bodies, and the fire of hell, the fire of Jahannam, the plane of resurrection. How far away is this? How far? Just when the beat of the heart stops, that's it. It will start. Just a small distance. No distance at all. No time at all. The Sahaba Ikram, the noble companions, believed in this. They said that death is not even that far, that if we were to blink our eyelids, death is even shorter, a distance away than that. And after death, the test to come, the severity to come, with this thought process, those who had yaqeen on this, who had certainty on this, and who thought about this, all night long they wouldn't sleep. They didn't feel sleepy. What will happen to us? What will occur? And that we don't even, first and foremost, we don't have deeds that we can utilize after death. And even if we do have deeds, then is there any value to our deeds? Tell me, my brothers, is there any value? Yes? That one individual, if he's very pious, upright, and a text came in the morning that I've done tawaf ziyarah and I'm free from Arafah, and I saw the text in the morning, the message, and now I've also done tawaf ziyarah and I've done the tawaf al-wida, I've done, now I'm sat down in next to the Kaaba, in front of the Kaaba, and I am extremely afraid and I'm trembling and I'm crying, that what will happen to me? And we are sitting here thinking that we'll go to the Kaaba and Baytullah, House of Allah is in front of us, we do tawaf. We think, oh, how good is it? We go, we do dua, and we will get forgiven. But the person who's arrived there, what's his hal? What's his situation? He's not satisfied there. He doesn't accept. The noble companions, they used to go around the Kaaba as well. And they were so close to it that Allahu Akbar, Allah is greatest. That mashallah, they were so close and in front of it physically, then that why didn't they get to sleep easy? Because the conditions, the circumstances, the situations that are about to come are very severe, very severe. We cannot imagine, and they're so close, my brothers, They're so close that there's no doubt, there's no age related to this, no youth, no old age that can diminish this. It's all deception. All deception. So our situation is such that we don't have deeds, we are nothing to our names. So what will happen to us? What will occur? Just like that man thought, he's lying down, it's been 10 years, my visa has not applied, my wife and children are somewhere else, I'm here, my mother and father are about to die, my visa has not been applied, what will happen to me? And I've seen people like this. I've seen people in these situations. Suddenly he gets a piece of good news that tomorrow morning your visa will be applied. Allahu Akbar, what will be his situation? And our situation today is this. And whoever is not in this situation, tell me, no, I'm happy, I have no fear, Jannah doors will open, I'll go in there straight. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, from him, may Allah be pleased with him, to the day of judgment, there can be no man who can say this. And if there is, he's mad and he's stupid. That how can he be so satisfied? That's it, I've prayed salah. And I've given the example of the Kaaba, haven't I? We're far, we think we'll arrive there. And the person who's arrived there, he says that I've come from Arafat, I've come from here. And to the end, he says, I don't know, will I be forgiven or not? I don't know. That my deeds, will they be accepted or not? I don't know, I'm in front of the Kaaba, I don't know what to do. So reality, this is not losing hope. This is a great ni'mah, gift of Allah, to feel this, to have this awareness, say subhanallah. To have this awareness, if this awareness is within a person, this is such a ni'mah, such a great treasure that a person cannot imagine. That to be so aware, if a human being is so aware, that what will happen to me? What will happen with me? Any deed he's not satisfied with, he's prostrating, subhana rabbil a'la, then he's crying again. And the Quran says these are those people all night long they worship and then they cry in the morning in Allah's presence, Allah, I've not attained anything. I'm finished, Allah. And we, where are we? That our hearts are so hard that we don't even have this feeling. The person has this feeling and awareness, subhanallah. Then Allah Ta'ala shows him the next path, the path ahead. Straight away, Allah Ta'ala opens up the doors for that person. The clear journey is shown, in which there is mercy of Allah and satisfaction and barakat and blessings of Allah. So now this is our situation, isn't it, brothers? And we don't know what's going to happen in our grave on the plane of resurrection. How will I get a guarantee? Now if I can get a guarantee now, that don't worry, with enjoyment you will enter into paradise after death. What will be the enjoyment? Imagine, say subhanallah, subhanallah. Yes, you'll be patted on the back. Why are you worried? No problems, you'll pass away, don't worry. You'll be shocked and surprised that Allah Ta'ala will say that I've prepared everything good for you. So imagine the happiness that person will get, the person who's got the visa. Now if our awareness, recognition comes alive and we're shaking, what will happen to us? We have no yaqeen on anything. That what's going to happen to us? And Allah Ta'ala says, don't worry, be calm. Why are you distressed? Why is there grief? Hey, Allah says that Jannah has opened up for you. It's been opened for you, subhanAllah. So, don't we want to live the life of a good human being? And then there will be another amal. So this is the first amal of fear. Then the other amal will be the deed of Allah Ta'ala's love. And a person will be, subhanAllah, one is the salah with fear, crying, trembling. We don't know. When Allah Ta'ala gives the stamp of approval, then what will be that salah? You'll still cry. You'll still be sobbing. But you will be given the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hereafter. So you've got that stamp of approval. The recognition. So then the announcement's made from the government that man is happy because the visas are being applied. And here Rabbul Izzat, Rabbul Universe, Lord of the Universe, who will decide on everything. Allah will decide on paradise, hellfire, the grave, what will happen, and the day of resurrection. Allah will decide. All decisions are with him. And Allah's announced. Listen, brothers. Allah says, Inni laghafaru liman taaba, say subhanallah. So the person who within him awakens the recognition and awareness, Allah has announced in the Quran, Allah says, إِنِّي لَغَفَارُ لِمَنْ تَابَ. O people who have done tawbah, O people who repent, don't fear, Allah says, don't fear. What's there to be afraid of? You've done tawbah, you've repented, I will give you a beautiful forgiveness and salvation, subhanAllah. Oh people, don't fear, don't grieve. If you've presented your repentance, then your visas will be applied. Oh people, don't fear. Why are you upset? Why are you upset? Do tawbah, repent, and you'll be given such forgiveness, extreme and untold and unlimited forgiveness. Allah says, لِمَنْ تَابَ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ. So what forgiveness? Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, Allah be pleased with him, he narrated in a hadith that a person, if he does tawbah, when a person repents, the individual who repents, then close to Allah, he is never a sinner after that. He is not a sinner. He is not counted as a sinner. Allah Ta'ala gives so much flexibility. Allah Ta'ala gives flexibility. The person who does tawbah, who repents, in the eyes of Allah, he is not included as a sinner. Doesn't matter if he 70 times he sins and repents 70 times. Oh, so much a gap Allah Ta'ala puts between our life and sin and forgiveness, that if we don't live the life of the animals, I swear by Allah, every human being can be a mu'min and enter into a paradise. So much opportunity and flexibility Allah Ta'ala has given. So much opportunity. Okay. Allah Ta'ala says, you are human beings. Allah knows we're human beings. Allah says, I did say you are bashar, shaitan, devil, and nafs, your desires were with you. But Allah says, I give you so many chances that unlimited. Allah says, gives an example of 70 as a number. Mufassirin commentator said that the meaning of the number 70 means unlimited. That if you commit a sin, you commit a mistake, what should you do? Say it loudly, tawbah, repent. But we don't do tawbah. We go outside, we get a friend, we start talking, gossiping, swearing, commit a sin, and we do not implement tawbah. We do not commit repentance. It's no problem if you've committed a sin, the door is open. If we make it a habit that we sin, and on the other side, we repent. Here, we sin, there we repent. What a great habit. So much so that this becomes our deeply ingrained habit. And if this becomes your deeply ingrained habit, then you will recognize sin so occasionally, so repeatedly, that you will leave sins eventually. Ultimately, you will leave the sins. Such a great method. And then, subhanallah, that a human being like this, when he dies, he's sinning on one side, and on the other side he's repenting. Allah Ta'ala says, such a sinful person who does tawbah, then he is not in my eyes a sinner. He's not sinful. I don't consider he's sinful. Put the veil between his sin and his repentance. He will not be a loser, and he will wake up on the day of judgment. He will rise and go straight into paradise. Subhanallah. So we need to awaken this awareness. We need to make this awareness alive. Allah has given us so many opportunities, open the doors of paradise for us. We should be so habitual, so repeatedly. Imam al-Anbiya, the head of the Prophet, Sayyidina Musaleen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, practically demonstrated this to us. The Prophet didn't need to do tawbah. He didn't need to repent. He didn't need to say istighfar. In the hadith it stated that on every sitting, in every movement, every moment, the Holy Prophet 70 times over would repeat, recite istighfar, so that his ummah can realize that this should be the style of your life, the habit in your life. That such a great action is tawbah. Even now, just now, yesterday, the day before it happened, it occurred, that look, my friends, all the rewards Allah Ta'ala has given in the world, the greatest reward and treasure for the human being is that if he sins and he commits tawbah, he implements tawbah. Sin, do tawbah immediately. There's no greater gift and treasure of Allah than doing tawbah immediately. We wait. Until I go home in the car, there's a friend with me, and we're driving home. We backbite, we lie, we speak nonsense, we'll do this and X, Y, Z. That we have to meet each other, isn't it? We have to speak, we have to discourse. Then there will be hasad, envy between friends, and jealousy. But if you keep one statement on your tongue when you have these feelings, astaghfirullah, 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 subhanallah. Keep on saying. When you sin, keep on saying, will you do this, brothers? That's it, so easy, so simple. Why? Oh, I don't need to repent. We say, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is demonstrating this to us. And you have no need to do tawbah. You at least move your tongue. Use your mouth. At least move it. Will we do this, brothers? Yes. Make it a habit. Make it a habit. The greatest reward of Allah is this to a human being, that he is enabled to do tawbah. How can it be that we've not committed a sin? We don't know. That person, so many sins we commit unconsciously, unaware, not knowing. In our thoughts we commit sins. Now thinking these sins, we're not even speaking to someone. You're sitting together, you're not speaking inside. The machine of sin is going through the cycles. What should we do? Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. The greatest wazifa, the greatest prayer, the greatest recitation that Allah Ta'ala has given to us. And look at the status of that person. Such people, I'm surprised. The phone call came to me a couple of days ago. Hazrat, via somebody, that I'd like to make a request. I said, yes. He said that this is my father. I said, okay. And the doctors have said that the cancer spread and he will pass away very soon, and he's unconscious. He's not conscious anymore. There are just a few hours left, or maybe a day or so to go. Like the doctors give the time, and he will depart from this world. And I am aware of my father, he said. I know about my father. So is it possible that he can do tawbah? Say subhanallah, Allahu Akbar. Imagine this request. On one side, the whole world, his whole life, 50, 70 years of sin are collected on one side, and his last moments are there, and his son has a great desire. Is it possible that if somebody, will somebody help you when you're on your deathbed and stood, there'll be doctors, people sat there medically, tell me, your doctors, that how many people have you seen in your life that at that time his father is about to pass away, and if the son approaches a sheikh, a wali, and phones and has this desire, that can my father who's about to die do tawbah, repent? Allah says in the Quran, clearly, in Surah Mumtahana, that come, if you want to do tawbah, then go to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Come to a friend of Allah and do tawbah, repent to that wali, the friend of Allah. These are the words of the Quran. How much? And what are we doing on the other side? No, I tremble. I said, Allah, such people are present in the world, that how he thought this, that he's being so merciful and helpful to his father. His father's about to pass away. I said, is he conscious? He said, hey, let me shake him. Maybe he will come to his senses. I said, open his eyes. Can he speak? I said, maybe it's hard for him to speak. I said, Bismillah, do one action. He said, he did Bismillah. He said, in the name of Allah. He said, he can speak and he's understanding what's going on around him. I said, that just one door is open, then the other door, Allah Ta'ala will open himself. Subhanallah. I said, quickly. I said, recite with me, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. He recited the kalimat of tawbah. And he was about to reach to the end of his life. Allah Ta'ala, forgive all my sins. Oh Allah, forgive me. Oh Allah, you are wahdahu la sharik. You can see and you can hear. You prefer those who ask for forgiveness. Oh Allah, forgive me. And a person who's dying is saying this, and then death is waiting for him. Death is about to come. Think about it. All his life long, all his wealth to one side. Put it to one side. Tell me. His houses, assets, to one side. And kalima tawbah, put it, forgiveness statement, which will have the higher value, my brothers? The kalima of tawbah. We eat and drink and we don't recite the kalima from our mouths, and we're wandering around the world. We have piles of sins, mounds of sins, one upon the other, right up to the skies. If we keep on along with them in parallel, eliminate them, then we wouldn't have any sins to our name at the time of death. The difference is this, that we don't recognize. We are not aware that we are to die. And we will be presented to Allah. And we have just fought this person. We've said this to this person. We've been rude to this person. We've done a wrong action. We've committed this sin. We've done wrong with this person. We don't have awareness. We're like animals. And this life, the worst life for the human being. And the salah, the worst salah. The ibadat are the worst. And we don't have fear of Allah within. When we do all of these actions, what do we do after salah? What is the sunnah? What is it? Say it loudly. What has been stated? Why? Ask Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ask him why. If we just pray salah prostrated, why should we do istighfar? Why? He sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that this is also the time to do istighfar. Even here, don't consider that you have not committed sins. Maybe your thoughts, shaitan has polluted your thoughts and taking you to the abyss. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given us such a great lesson after great ibadah worship. Is there any greater ibadah worship than salah? There isn't. There is no greater action than salah. There's no greater, without salah, there's no life for the mu'min. And that person is dead. He is not alive in his home. There's no salah. If his children don't pray salah, if his daughter doesn't pray salah, that person's life is gone. Don't even think that person's got prosperity. That's a graveyard. That's not a life. That's a graveyard. We cannot imagine that person in his home. There's no salah. The man's not praying. The people around him aren't praying. And he's counting money. And my son is this. My relatives are this. I've got this. This is mine. This many houses. That person's the worst of human beings who doesn't even think about salah. Yes, and that this is what our deen says, that person's life isn't worth it. Our ulama, respected scholars, say, one scholar says that person is to be imprisoned. This is the case, isn't it? What life is there for that person who doesn't pray salah? So after praying salah, which is such a beloved ibadah, worship action of Allah, and a person, if he's not praying, he doesn't have iman, Allah doesn't recognize him, no paradise, no reward, we're nothing without salah. That person, if he doesn't, even if he is that time, his life is going, but he has to pray salah. What a great favor of Allah. We shouldn't imagine that we have to leave salah. We shouldn't imagine that we have to leave salah. Don't even think that your son is not praying. Don't speak to him. Don't even look at him in the face. Don't look at towards him. Don't present food to that person. In your heart should be dislike for that awlad. Allah Ta'ala looks from inside the heart that he doesn't pray salah. And due to loving him, you will also be destroyed. Yes, those maqams where that person deserves dislike and we like, and where we should like, we dislike for the sake of the dunya. Due to the dunya, we have hatred in the world. How dare you come to my home? How dare you do wrong? How dare you do this? And Allah Ta'ala says, forgive. And he says, what's happened? What will happen? We say this, don't we? Oh, he's made a mistake. Okay, just forgive him, overlook him. But if a person's, that where we can overlook and forgive, we don't. And where that person's disobeying Allah, we say, no, he's young. He goes to college. What can we do? He's forced not to practice. Oh, he'll grow up and he'll understand. Imagine this thing. Imagine this. So in this condition, after salah, if after praying salah you're happy that I've got five times salah to my left, Allah's Nabi said that soon as you complete salah, you have to say this, Allah forgive me, Allah forgive me. Do we do this? Then, and then when we commit sins, so many sins upon sins, and on our tongues, what do we do? Even ask Allah for forgiveness? Despite the fact that after praying salah, immediately we have to ask forgiveness. Do you understand what I'm saying? Has it gone into your hearts? Has this come into your brains and minds? Do you understand? If you have, then put your hands up. Put your hands up. Will we from today do istighfar? Make this a solid habit. 100% every moment on your tongues. Astaghfirullah. 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 After praying salah 3 times, thousands of times, count so many times. This sin, astaghfirullah. What have I done? What have I done? I've looked at a woman, astaghfirullah. And for our youth, it's a beautiful formula. Excellent for my young life, if you go to college, university, here, there. So for them, the greatest formula and method with the fadl of Allah, the grace of Allah, put this as a habit on your tongues. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. So may Allah Ta'ala give us all the opportunity. Allah has given us an opportunity. That listen, Allah said in the Quran, Inni laghafaru liman taba. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala says, do as many sins as you are doing, but do tawbah immediately, I will forgive you immediately. Subhanallah. And the beautiful forgiveness you will attain. Some people say, that who's got the greatest status of forgiveness? Allah says, the greatest way. That when you sin, Allah Ta'ala says, then I'll forgive you in the most beautiful way. You'll commit the sins, the worst of sins. When you'll ask for forgiveness, then Allah says, I'll forgive you in the most beautiful way. This is how Allah Ta'ala loves those who repent. The action of repentance, so inshallah. Let's promise to Allah, that Allah, as soon as we sin and we recognize and aware of sin, we will do tawbah in your court. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the ability to ask for forgiveness. Ameen.
اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد نبي الأمي وأزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وذرياته وأهل بيته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وسلم تسليما دائما أبدا كثيرا 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 اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وظلمنا وعزلنا وجدنا وخطنا وعودنا كل ذلك عندنا اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب الحشر وقنا عذاب الميزان وادخلنا جنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار يا رب العالمين يا رب العالمين يا رب العالمين اللهم إنا لا zikri ko wa shukri ko wa husni ibadati ko Allahumma thabbitna 'alal iman wa amitna 'alal iman wajanna yawmal qiyamati ma'al iman Allahumma ihdina siratal mustaqim Allahumma ihdina siratal mustaqim Allahumma ihdina siratal mustaqim Allahumma ista'inna bi sunnati wa nafa'na bi mahabbatihi wa shanna fi zumrati ya ghareem Allahumma inna ala ghamratil maut wa sakratil maut Allahumma hasibna hisaban yaseera Allahumma hasibna hisaban yaseera Allahumma hasibna hisaban yaseera Allahumma inna ala ghamratil maut wa sakratil maut Allahumma barik lana bil maut wa fima ba'dal maut Allahumma na'uz bika azab al qabr wa azab jahannam wa fitnat al mahya wal mamat wa fitnat al masih al dajjal ya qadi al hajat iktahajatina ya dafi al balayat itwa balayatina ya dafi al balayat itwa balayatina ya dafi al balayat itwa balayatina ya shafi al amrat ishfa muradina ya shafi al amrat ishfa muradina ya shafi al amrat ishfa muradina rabbana hab lana min azwajina wa dhurriyyatina qurrata ayun waj'alna lil muttaqina imama اللهم رَبِّ هموما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم رَبِّ هموما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم رَبِّ هموما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا وأستاذينا ومشايخنا وجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.